This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The Enduring Families Project explores the local history of African Americans and other non-white settlers in the La Crosse area. Sponsored by the La Crosse Historical Society, members of the project bring to life the stories of people of color from La Crosse's past through historical reenactments and monologues. Joining us in studio to talk about the Enduring Families Project are its producer, Denise Christie Moss, who's also a performer, and two other performers from the project, Daryl Ferguson and Torrance Chester. Denise, can you talk a little bit about how the Enduring Families Project got started?
The historian, whose name is Rebecca Mormon Krieger, and I were both teachers in the La Crosse public school system. We both taught at Milwaukee High School of the Arts. She taught, I taught English speech and theater. She taught social studies and theater. So she was very much interested in historical detective work. So when we both retired and moved to this same part of the country, she has roots here, and my husband lives here. So we both had roots, and we both ended up here. And she wanted to do some research about one group of early African Americans that lived here, my husband's family, the Moss family, which was early settlers of La Crosse. But then in her digging, she found there were other families that lived here. The Mosses were just the ones that happened to stay. But there were other families, several families. And the more digging she did, the more interesting it got. Then she learned about George Edwin Taylor being the first African-American to run for president, and George Pogue, the first African-American to medal in the Olympics, and all of both of those in 1904. So she did the research, and I went around asking for people to support us, and word of mouth, getting in touch with the La Crosse Historical Society and various other people. We were able to get people together to form a living bus tour last June. That was our first presentation introducing these characters, and from there it's just mushroomed. People are very interested in the work that we do, in learning the stories of George Edwin Taylor, for example, who lived by Wettstein's Furniture Store, and George Pogue, who lived on 13th and Cass Street, as well as many of the barbers, the early Moss barbers who lived over by the bus station on 3rd and J Street, and the Shivers, who lived over on 13th and Vine. Those were the locations for the bus tour. But then school districts got involved, and community groups have gotten involved, and now it's just blossomed. We will be doing a video of this group, which will be directed by local artistic director Vicki Elwood. Our videographer is going to be Philip Addis. So people are coming on board, but it just started with just talking in the living room and writing things down and doing some historical detective work.
Yeah, and I want to dig more into your work with the especially local schools, but you know, I wonder if you could share a little bit about, you know, who's involved in this project from the community. You know, who are the performers who are bringing these characters to life?
Well, two are with us today. Torrance Chester is a reenactor for John Burney, who was a very prominent barber in La Crosse in the late 1800s. And then I've mentioned before George Edwin Taylor, the first African-American to run for president, is being reenacted by Daryl Ferguson. In addition to that, I'm playing the part of George Pogue's sister, Nellie Pogue. He had siblings, and I play one of them.
Torrance, yes. Can you share with us why you wanted to join the Enduring Families Project?
Well, it's a very interesting project, and I absolutely had no idea about these people, and I'm very well pleased to be involved, and also pleased to be able to reenact my character's thoughts and feelings and accomplishments.
Has there been anything that stuck out to you from your character's history, or things that you really relate to, maybe, in learning their story?
Well, the fact that he was indeed well-respected in the community and amongst his peers was a selling point for me.
Daryl, I wonder if you want to share, you know, what drew you to the Enduring Families Project?
Easter Sunday last year. It sounds odd, but I was out having dinner with my family, and Denise walked up to me in the restaurant, and she saw me, and she left the building, and she came back in, and she said, "You look like a president." And that was my introduction to the Enduring Families Project. From there, we went on to discuss how I might be a part of the project, how I might be a good character to represent George Edwin Taylor. We discussed that in more detail about his life, his history here in the La Crosse area, the things that he did, and how it might impact people today.
What has that process been like, learning this history and these facts that, you know, you draw on when you're reenacting your character?
Learning that history, learning about what people have done in the past, it's not just interesting. It's become a part of me. It's become a part of the people in the community. It's become a part of my life now, because people come to me and they talk to me about what it was like to not just act like George Edwin Taylor or play the role, but I'm starting to relate to him and relate his personality and personage to them so that they appreciate more what this particular part of the community has given to the La Crosse community as a whole. Someone else that has really influenced me, Errol Kinchy is the president of the West Salem Historical Society. I play euchre with him on Wednesday nights. When he heard that I was reenacting George Edwin Taylor's life, he immediately jumped up. His eyes got large, and he was happy because he knew all about George Edwin Taylor. He has an extensive library on Nathan Smith and the history of African Americans in the West Salem area. So he wanted to talk about that immediately and gave me a whole history of Nathan Smith and George Edwin Taylor.
Because the connection is that George Edwin Taylor was a foster child of Nathan Smith, mm-hmm. and something that I didn't know until Rebecca dug it, but I'm sure Errol Kinchy would have informed right. us of that also. But that's how those two are connected.
Denise, can you share a little bit about what the research process has been like for finding out about these people in La Crosse's history? You know, what are some of the resources that you guys have drawn on?
Well, according to our historian who did the research, she did a lot of work with Ancestry.com. That's where she started. And like I said, it started with the Moss family because I was there, and she knew about them. And then she went back and started finding more and more through Ancestry.com about early African Americans. But I'll tell you, she started first off with the book Black La Crosse by Bruce Mauser. He was the one, he wrote several books about early African Americans in La Crosse. He wrote one about Nathan Smith. He wrote one about George Pogue. And then there's this whole glossary of information about all of these people. She had the names, she had the material from city records, so she knew where to go and go in the archives to find name recognition, and then go on Ancestry.com, and she knew the approximate dates that they were in La Crosse and was able to get more information that way and find articles and newspapers and different oral histories and various websites that had bits of information here, bits of information there, because she always said that some of the information was just found in a little sentence in a paragraph because the information had never been cataloged. So it was just breadcrumb after breadcrumb after breadcrumb, and before you know it, you had a loaf of bread. You know, you have a big loaf of bread, one breadcrumb at a time.
Denise Christy Moss is producer of the Enduring Families Project. She's here with us today to talk about the initiative to tell a more inclusive local history. She's joined by Daryl Ferguson and Torrance Chester, performers with the Enduring Families Project. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Denise, I wonder if you can share a little bit about, you mentioned that there has been, you know, initiative to bring this project to local schools. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what that's looked like.
The school district of La Crosse is very interested in bringing this material into the classrooms. Last fall, a group of us, Daryl Ferguson, myself, and the reenactors for the Mosses, went to three schools. That was put together by Shondell Spivey, who was at that time the cultural liaison in the La Crosse Public Schools, and he organized a tour where we were to go into the schools, the three middle schools in La Crosse, and we were to give a presentation. We also gave presentations for teacher summits in October and February. Daryl and I performed our prospective roles at Onalaska High School back in October. And it's just mushroomed. We have done work at the La Crosse Library. They do a series Monday mornings at the Main. We did a presentation there in February. We did a presentation also in February for community conversations at English Lutheran Church. And then we'll be doing some things here. In October, we will be fortunate enough to give a presentation, Torrance and I, and Issachar, as Nellie Polk, John Berman, and Ashley Shivers will be giving a presentation at Onalaska Public Library. Torrance and I and two other newcomers will be giving a presentation to the League of Women Voters to celebrate the 100, it's an anniversary of women getting the vote, and that's going to be in early October. I did not know that when the women's suffrage move, when women got the right to vote, African American women, there were some issues, and we will be talking about that in detail at a luncheon for them. The more people that hear about this, the more people want to join us. That's why we're trying to put this video together so that, you know, I'm old. Torrance and the others aren't quite as old, but we're getting kind of, we don't want to burn out. And the video will be our legacy as well as implementation in the school districts of this material also. So those are the two things, the video and implementation of our material into the school curriculum of the school district of La Crosse.
What do you think is really driving this interest in the Enduring Families Project? You know, what it was kind of sparking the need in the community to hear these stories?
The surprise, I didn't know that. My Zumba teacher told me that one of her Zumba students was talking about being involved in the project, and they were so surprised to know about this presidential candidate that lived in by Wettstein's, the old Wettstein's furniture store in 1904, talking about your wife. My Zumba teacher talked about his wife talking about the project, and, you know, the surprise. It people don't know that these people lived here. I didn't know this guy lived here. I didn't know this. You know, everyone knows about Jesse Owens. No one knows about George Polk, who meddled in 1904. Jesse Owens, it's good that Jesse Owens did what he did, but that was in the 1930s. We have a local hero now. And learning this history gives the community a sense of inclusion, especially those that are marginalized. They get a sense that there is a history here and they belong too. So that's part of what generates it. It generates this feeling of belonging in this community.
Daryl, what has been the experience like bringing these stories to local schools?
To local schools?
Yeah.
Students have gained a lot of interest. They have come to me and they've said, students of all colors, students of all backgrounds, They want to know more. Students of color want to know why this isn't, or that this hasn't been, they haven't been exposed to this in school. They want to know how they can get more information about this. They want to know when these events are taking place. Students that I've talked to about this are showing up at the presentations individually. They're bringing their parents along, and they're telling their parents and their friends, look, this is something that can or does pertain to us as well, and that we should be involved with. We should have the knowledge of this. So this is something that is far-reaching beyond just what we're doing here today. This is a future prospect. This is something that the future of this particular community and this society as a whole is going to benefit from, because now they're going to take this information and carry it on even further.
Yeah, I think that this project, one of the cool things about this project is that it is oral storytelling. A lot of those stories that get handed down in family structures a lot of time, stories of ancestors. And I just wonder what your thoughts, Daryl, are on kind of the importance of this, this telling stories of people in this way of oral storytelling, passing on to the next generation.
Right. Well, my mother is from Mississippi, from Vicksburg. And my family, my mother's side, is from that area. If you go back a few generations, my mom does remember hearing stories from her parents, grandparents, about the Battle of Vicksburg. And so hearing that story translated down from generation to generation is something that's interesting. It's something that you don't really get in school. So getting that information, getting those kinds of stories, or oral stories, is just as important as what you get when you read a book. A lot of times, book is subject to interpretation, and stories kind of bring things to life where you get a feeling of connection to the person who's telling the story and the person who's listening.
Yeah, Torrance, what are your thoughts on this, kind of reviving oral storytelling and using that as a way to tell these stories?
I think it's wonderful. It's very educational, and everyone can benefit from it. Everyone can benefit from history, from knowing where we've been, where we came from, and it gives insight to what we can do in the future, I believe.
Yeah, what has been the reaction you've gotten from members of the community when you've done these monologues and reenactments?
Well, they've all been very, very positive. And just like me, there are things that I didn't know, and people weren't aware of these people and what they've done and what they've contributed. So it's been wonderful. It's all been very positive.
Yeah, Denise.
I am so honored, thrilled that the School District of La Crosse is going to be expanding their curriculum in the Social Studies Department to make sure that it is more inclusive of all people, all students in the community. The idea is for all the young people to be able to see themselves in the history, and including this port, not only see themselves, but learn about the others that don't look like them. But it's something that all students can see, and it's really encouraging that this information included in this project is going to be in the revamped social studies curriculum, along with those of other cultures that are reflective in our society, such as the Hmong, such as the Native Americans. The point is to the school district is trying to make the curriculum more inclusive of all, and our part is going to be included in that, and that will be part of the legacy that we leave, so that future generations will know about this group of people that lived here.
Yeah, I mean, Denise, I wonder if you can expand on, Daryl brought up this idea of, the next generation kind of carrying lessons from these stories forward. I wonder if you can expand on that idea of what the next generation is really getting from knowing these histories.
Oh, the idea, the goal is that as the young people as the information is implemented in the classroom through the video that we will hopefully make, well, that we will make, as well as future visits by some of us into classrooms. The goal is that the students will feel a sense of inclusiveness with this community and not feel marginalized. And if you feel more included in the community, then your performance in the community is elevated also. There is more encouragement, there's more self-confidence, more self-awareness, more, hey, I belong here too, because people that looked like me lived here too. I tell people all the time, when I first moved here, before I knew all this material, I didn't care about those buildings downtown. The signs say historical La Crosse. I didn't care about any of that. I didn't care about those beautiful historical buildings, which are now beautiful to me because people like me lived in places like that. And my hope is that future generations can get that sense of belonging too, because they know that people that lived like that looked like them lived here too. So it's a connection. But then it's for everybody to know this material also.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the Enduring Families Project with some of its performers, Denise Christie Moss, Daryl Ferguson, and Torrance Chester. Torrance, I wonder if you've also shared that experience of feeling more connected to the city of La Crosse, to the La Crosse area, from knowing these histories.
I absolutely do. I absolutely do, and I... because of their stories, I have stories to tell to people that ask, because I can say, well, you know, there were a lot of African Americans here in the 1800s, and they contributed a great deal to this community and to this city.
Yeah, Daryl, do you feel like local histories are always inclusive of African Americans or non-white settlers of this area?
A loaded question. Inclusivity has not been forthright, and that's why we're doing this. That's the purpose of this project, to bring a more inclusive environment to the community. What we have discovered, as far as our research has gone and the performances and bringing this information to light, is that outside marginalized communities have had a worldwide international impact. And they started right here in La Crosse, in the La Crosse area. So when you look at what people have done and what people have accomplished, and you find that what they did had this impact not just on the La Crosse community right here, but on the world, on the national and international stage, then it's hard to think about a specific community or group of people as just being marginalized or outside of. They need to be included. That history needs to be included. It needs to be taught in public schools, not just within the community, but in general, because this is something that needs to be discussed overall if we are going to have a more inclusive society. Education is where it starts. That's where people begin to learn, and that's where they find out what's actually happened as far as our history is concerned.
Denise, I know that part of the project includes dressing up in period costumes to help kind of bring these people to life again. And I wonder if you can share kind of how that process works of, you know, finding these costumes and the research it may be involved in figuring out historically appropriate attire.
We were very fortunate. The La Crosse Community Theater had a costume sale last June. The resident costumer Teresa Smerud operated the sale, and a group of us were able to go in, and she's at the La Crosse Community Theater. She's been doing this for 30 years, so she pointed us in the direction of some clothing that would be beneficial for us. She was also our costumer at first, and she chose the costumes that we were to wear for the bus tour. And then after she chose those costumes, then there was the bus sale, the costume sale, to get more costumes for future performers. But it all started with Teresa choosing the costumes for the bus tour, letting us purchase those costumes thanks to grant money from the La Crosse Community Foundation and other contributors who granted us funds. So because of those funds, we were able to purchase some of the costumes and purchase more. Our historian, I had said earlier that she was a social studies and theater teacher. Well, at Milwaukee High School of the Arts, she was the school costumer. So she had some experience with costumes also. So after the bus tour, and Teresa sold us the costumes from the costume sale, then Rebecca sort of took over the realms of putting costumes together for future performers. Like Terrence just came on recently, but she knew about that, his what to get for him and some of the other women who have come on board since the bus tour.
Terrence, what's that experience like, dressing up as your character? I mean, do you feel like it adds something maybe to the reenactment?
Oh, absolutely. It adds, if I may, character to the character. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Daryl, I wonder specifically in schools, kind of what students' reactions are like to dressing up in period attire.
When they see me in Georgia when Taylor attire, a couple of them say, "Wow, you look just like him." So it puts me in the mindset of who George Edwin Taylor was. And I think about what he must have been like and what he must have felt and what he went through as a person and what his life was like. Coming from a very difficult point, a very arduous journey as a young child, to accepting the role of becoming a candidate for the president in 1904. And he ran against Teddy Roosevelt, who was very popular. Did he win? No. But that was a major leap, a major accomplishment, to be able to stand and say, look, I can run against Teddy Roosevelt, and have that kind of confidence. So, yes, I am proud to be in that role.
I did not know that John Birney was a wealthy man. When you read his monologue, he had a barber shop in the Augusta Hotel with 8 seats. I think that's what your monologue said, something
yes.
like
that.
Eight, and he owned properties, and you know, so these people were not, I mean, they were very successful. John Birney was successful, and there are some others in the monologues. You learn a lot. I mean, this was a very interesting group of people. So.
Denise Christy Moss, Daryl Ferguson, and Torrence Chester are performers with the Enduring Families Project. They join us today to talk about the initiative to tell a more inclusive local history by bringing to life African Americans and other non-white settlers in the La Crosse area. Coming up, we'll talk with an author of a new book on one of the first Europeans to visit Wisconsin. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers.